Hey everyone, this is Renee Fry from Talent Q, and you're listening to the Conscious Professional Podcast. I'm beginning today's episode inspired by a heartfelt message from one of our listeners, Deborah. Deborah reached out to express her gratitude for one of my previous episodes, where I had shared my own fears and triumphs in the world of public speaking. And in that episode, I also talk about my journey with Toastmasters and how that group helped me to overcome my fear of public speaking. Hearing my story had inspired Deborah to check out a Toastmasters meeting for herself. And because just like me, she's a great communicator one-on-one, but scared of getting up in front of speaking in front of groups. And it's messages like Deborah's that remind me of the power of connection and the importance of sharing our stories. I love hearing how someone listened to the podcast and took action. I am so incredibly proud of Deborah for stepping out of her comfort zone and having the courage to go to a Toastmasters meeting. You go, girl. So to Deborah and all of our listeners, thank you for being a part of this community. I'm committed to growing together and continuing to learn and support each other as we find happiness personally and professionally. So stay tuned for more inspiring conversations I have with listeners. I love hearing what you guys have to say about the episodes. Remember, you can always leave me your thoughts on the Spotify app within each episode under the Q&A section. Okay, let's get into today's episode. So today, I'm talking about failure, how we can embrace failure, have resilience, and how you can turn any setback into opportunities for massive growth. When you have a setback, it can really give you the opportunity to reassess your skills and your perspective and ultimately increase your self-awareness, taking it to new heights. Setbacks also encourage you to think outside the box and lead you to create new solutions and try new actions and behaviors that will keep you moving forward. Demonstrating resilience can be one of the most powerful tools in your professional and personal life because setbacks will always pop up. That's almost a guarantee, like paying taxes if you live in the United States. Setbacks will pop up. Resilience is one of the most sought-after skills that everyone wants to have, and it takes practice and repetition. And I'm going to be demonstrating how you have the power to acquire this skill. Setbacks suck. They are part of life and we've all experienced them. Some are truly painful. Some are more painful than others. We've all failed at something. We've all messed up at some point in our lives. It's because we're all human and the reality is people make mistakes. And we wish when we said something, we wish we could have taken it back. Or we did a behavior that we wish we didn't do. We pick a wrong solution to a problem. And sometimes we make wrong choices. Heck, I've experienced the worst of failure. I was fired from a job in the past. And at the time, it was a major blow to my ego. But it sure doesn't matter today. It's actually laughable. I agree I should have been fired then. So when I graduated high school, I was soon headed off to college. I searched for the highest paying job that I could find because I was being strategic. I wanted to get maximum pay for my time because my time was limited. I had to pay for all of my living expenses, my car, my insurance. Soon I had to pay for college and everything related to that. And the scholarships that I earned only covered so much, so I had to cover the rest. I needed to make money. So I came across an ad in the newspaper in town that I lived in, and it was to be a server at a bar. And in Minnesota, at the time, the state I lived in, you could serve alcohol at age 18. So I applied, I interviewed, I got the job. And I remember the owner telling me the reason I got the job was because of my positive attitude and my maturity. He said I was much more mature than most 18-year-olds. And I got to admit, I totally agreed with him because I really felt like I was much more mature than my peers. Having a job is a lot of responsibility, and some of you may know my story. I was raised by a single mom, so I've been working in the workforce since I was 14 years old. And my life experience forced me to be more mature than other people at my age. Serving at the bar was a sweet gig. I was paid a higher hourly minimum wage because the owner expected his team to deliver superior customer service. And I also got cash tips, which was incredible. Plus, I love people. I'm super extroverted and can talk to anyone, right? Didn't even feel like work. All I served was drinks and talked to people. It was pretty easy to me. On Sundays, the bar was slower, so it would just be the owner and me working, and he would be bartending at the bar while I was serving all the tables and the whole bar, and I was the only one there. And at the end of the night, the owner would give me all of his tips that he had collected, which was awesome because it was usually a couple $100. So combine that with my tips, I'd go home with like over $500 cash for working one shift. It was the best. Sunday was the best night to work. It was an incredible gig. When I started college in the fall, even though I lived in the dorms at the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis, I still kept working at the bar. And on the weekends, I would just drive back and forth, or whenever I'd shifts, I would just drive back and forth. Well, my second year at the university, I realized it wasn't a good fit for me. The college was way too big for me. I hated sitting in an auditorium with over 400 people in class. That was like almost how big my high school graduating class was. My professors didn't know me. They didn't know my name. My TAs were difficult to understand. I was one of very few females in the mechanical engineering program. And I decided I needed a change. I, at the time, did a ton of research on different colleges and ended up transferring to the University of Wisconsin and River Falls. And I changed my major to biology and ditched engineering. I moved from Minneapolis to Prescott to be closer to the school. And during all of this change, this was massive change in my life, I ended up having insomnia for several months. Now, this was one of the worst times in my life. I will never forget it. Literally, I didn't sleep. WTF. And it sucked. It was one of the craziest times in my life. I do not wish it ever upon anyone. And I'll tell you what it was like living without sleep. I felt wigged out all the time. I never felt rested. I had extremely blurry vision. My emotions were out of whack. It was a serious low point in my life. But crazy enough, I still did well in school. I still got straight A's. It was shocking to me. Even when I talk about it now, I immediately have flashbacks to this time in my life, and I remember how awful and painful it was. Ugh, crazy. If I was in a class taking an exam, I had to read questions multiple times on the test because my vision was so blurry. But apparently, I still knew my stuff because I was getting good grades. So what ended up happening is I ended up leaving Prescott and ended up moving back in with my mom because my vision was so impaired. I couldn't even drive myself to school anymore because I couldn't see straight. My mom, the complete gem that she is, she drove me to and from college. Talk about feeling like a failure, a total loser. I couldn't even drive my own car. Since I couldn't drive to school, I couldn't drive to work either. My mom was my chauffeur at this time, which felt like I was regressing back to being a child. I was dependent on her for so much. But bless her heart, because she helped me willingly and never once complained. She has always wanted the best for me, and she is the most selfless person I know. And thank God for her. I'm so grateful for her every single day. So while I worked at the bar, since I was so out of sorts, not only would my mom drive my ass there, she would sit in the bar and be there during my entire shift and wait for me to finish work. She was so wonderful to do this. And during all this, I had let my manager at the bar know that I was going through some personal stuff, but that I felt like I could still work and perform the job to my best of my ability. That lasted a little while, but one day after my shift, the manager calls me over and asks me to sit down. She proceeds to tell me they're letting me go. I was fired. And do you know why I got fired? I was fired for having a bad attitude. It's so ironic because I was hired for my attitude. Now I'm getting fired for it. I know my attitude took a downslide because I wasn't my positive self. How could I be when I wasn't getting any friggin' sleep? There's no way. It's so funny to me now because I consider myself today an ultimate optimist. But at the time, the bar manager was 100% right. My attitude sucked. What happened was at the bar, there were regulars who would be there every time I was there. I'd see them every time. I got to know them extremely well. So I saw them when I worked every single shift, and a couple of regulars had complained about my attitude, and bam, I was fired. Oh, well, it's always a reason for everything, right? Thinking back on it now, all I can do is laugh about it. It's pretty comical to me. But at the time, in the moment, I felt like my life was literally falling apart. I didn't have a job. I couldn't friggin' sleep. I'm a grown-ass adult and my mom has to drive me everywhere. I can't see straight. I have constant anxiety because of the insomnia and the icing on the cake. I get fired from my job. Crap, this could have been a sad country song. But I want to talk about these circumstances and what may be considered failure in this whole period of my life. It was an accumulation of multiple failures, really. It felt like a freaking mountain of failure. You picked the wrong university, failed. You picked the wrong major, failed. Had insomnia. My body was literally failing. Can't drive, failure. Got fired, failed. And today, looking back, it just makes me laugh. This huge mountain of failure. But I didn't feel like a loser in all this. I didn't even see these setbacks as failing. I just kept living my life. I kept getting up and I kept going. I had to keep working towards my degree. I had to keep working until I got fired. Looking back, I wasn't in the right state of mind to be in a job like that. I probably should have quit, but I needed to make a living to support myself, which was total scarcity mindset. An alternative, a way better alternative, would have been to take a leave of absence from work and really focus on my health. But I didn't. I was focused on making a living and paying my bills. And I'm sure by hearing my story, you probably have things popping up in your mind where you felt like a failure in the past. We all have these stories. None of us are alone. I even remember failures I had in the corporate world. When I was working at Target Corporation, after people went through a series of interviews to try to get a job there, the entire interview team would meet to recap to discuss everyone's feedback. We would all share our perspective on the individual that had interviewed. We'd share examples from the interview as to why we would recommend hiring them or why we didn't recommend hiring them. Part of my role as an executive recruiter at Target would be to facilitate these interview recap meetings. Target's philosophy at the time was consensus hiring, meaning there had to be consensus amongst all the interviews that everyone was a thumbs up and everyone recommended hiring the person. If one interviewer was a no, sometimes the others could influence as to why they thought we should still hire them. But still, everyone had to be convinced, and it was all about having a consensus amongst the interview team. Now, I have no idea how Target hires now. I've been so far removed for years. So one time, we had an executive-level candidate go through interviews. And executive-level, at the time at Target, needed to have HR approval to move forward with offers. So the HR director would be involved in the interviews as well. Well, I facilitated the recap for this exec candidate and everyone was on board. So I moved to get approval on compensation from my HR generalist partner. I moved forward, offered the person the job. They accepted. Woohoo! I was thrilled. Later, the following week, my boss asked me, "Hey, Renee, did you get Molly's feedback on her interview before you move forward with the offer?" My eyes grew extremely big. I was like, oh shit, Molly was part of the interviews but couldn't attend the recap? I was like, I was flying so high on all the positive feedback in the interview recap session since everyone was in agreement and everyone wanted to hire this person. I thought for sure I was going to get fired for the second time in my career. And what a total CLM. And CLM stands for career limiting move, if you haven't heard it. So I went on the hunt for Molly. I never backed down from conflict and I always own up to my mistake. So my plan was to chat with her face to face. And I didn't feel this was something that could be handled over email. So I saw her walking down to her office one day down the hall and I stopped her and I told her what had happened. And I told her it would never happen again. And Molly was a tough cookie. She was one of those people who took a long time to warm up to you. I'm not sure if she ever really was warm. She was very stoic, had this presence about her, almost intimidating. And I'm not intimidated by anyone, but I would say she almost intimidated me. So I told her exactly what happened, that I made a mistake. And it wouldn't happen again because of the situation. I also shared, because of this boo-boo, I didn't say boo-boo to her, of course, I created a checklist and I would check off that I got everyone's feedback who interviewed the candidate so that this would never happen again. So here is where I'm shaking in my boots. Totally thought I was going to be in deep doo-doo. And she looks at me and says, "Everyone was unanimous on hiring them?" I said, "Yep, there was not one concern that surfaced during the interview recap meeting." She said, "Oh, that's great. I'm glad you didn't wait for my feedback." She then paused, a super long pause. I mean, it was felt like hours going by. And she said, "Don't let it happen again." I was like, amen, I get to keep my job. I then had to go tell my boss and tell her about my conversation with Molly and how I handled it. So it wasn't a CLM after all. So let me ask you something. Do we ever truly fail if we keep going? Now, in my life, I see failure as a temporary setback and an incredible learning opportunity. When I've failed in my life, I remember these are the moments when I learn the most, when I grow the most. It's like a deep self-discovery that takes me to greater heights later on. And going through these experiences makes me more resilient, makes me take things with stride and ease, shows me what I'm truly made of because I don't quit. I get back up and I keep going no matter what. Now, it's not easy to go through failure. Experiencing failure, it truly sucks. It's painful, but guess what? Circumstances are all temporary. Nothing lasts forever. So the phrase, "this too shall pass," is totally relevant. Or we could be like Elsa and say, "let it go, let it go." I want to share something with all of you. It's something I have written on my whiteboard in my office to remind me every single day. It's a quote by APJ Abdul Kalam, who's the former president of India. He says, "If you fail, never give up, because F-A-I-L means first attempt in learning. End is not the end. In fact, E-N-D means effort never dies. If you get a no, remember N-O means next opportunity." Isn't that dynamite how we sum that all up? How we perceive things is how we experience our lives. Everything is our perception of something. We could think in our minds, failure is the end. Or we can think of the positive, like the former president of India. With any failure comes growth, personal growth, the real, genuine kind of growth. This is because we learn valuable lessons about who we are and what we're made of. And all of this helps us adjust and change our future actions and decisions. When we encounter failures or setbacks, we are presented with an opportunity to learn, adapt, and grow from the experience. It's emotional. It's painful when we have setbacks. When I was fired, I was crying on my way home. It hit me to my core and bruised my ego. But when we keep kicking through those setbacks and we keep getting back up, over time, that pain and the emotions you feel will lessen because you are reprogramming your mind, reprogramming your beliefs, your thoughts, and your emotional response to it. When we reflect on what went wrong in a setback moment, we can figure out what we need to work on, which allows us to develop new strategies or new approaches for the future. And when we go through the process of self-reflection and identify what we learn, this gives us tremendous new knowledge and more resilience that contributes to our personal growth. This takes conscious effort to do that evaluation. When we have a setback and we get up and we bounce back, our resilient muscle grows. And you know what else grows? Your mindset. When you have setbacks and you keep getting up and moving forward, they no longer will be scary or devastating like they once were because you've trained your mind to believe that it's okay. Everything will be okay. Setbacks are okay. You'll start to see challenges as opportunities for growth rather than insurmountable obstacles. Many successful individuals and companies have embraced failure as an integral part of their journey towards achieving greatness. Let's look at Michael Jordan. He has this great quote. He says, "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed." Bam! No better summary than this. Thank you, Jordan. He completely understood that failure is not the end, but a stepping stone towards success. When we embrace failure and learn from it, we will grow, we will evolve, and ultimately achieve greater levels of success in all aspects of life. This fail and learn mindset encourages you to keep going, keep experimenting, keep testing, keep taking risks, all while embracing the possibility of setbacks. Actively seeking feedback and being open to constructive criticism and being willing to make the necessary changes based on those learnings are key components of the fail and learn approach. So fail, pick your ass back up, learn from it, embrace it, keep moving forward. So for everyone listening, I encourage you to fail. Go fail. Pick yourself back up. Go fail and learn. Success is waiting for you. So the key points from today's episode are how to create new solutions after experiencing setbacks, how to lessen the emotions around your failures, and how to implement the fail and learn mindset. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Please share this episode and go make one change to be better than you were yesterday. Live your life with intention. I believe in you. I'm on a mission to help as many people as possible. So if you would, please leave a 5-star review. See you next week, everyone. Cheers.